Conference Committee on Senate Bill 81, Tuesday, June 22nd, 1999, 1 p.m. here in Room E.
All right. Get Marquise up here. Gil, get up here, please. Or Paul, whoever. John, survey up here, please. I want the counties up here. I want the unity courts up here. I want the...
Mr. Chair? Yes. Is this what it would be like if the Democrats were in control?
God.
Mr. Chair, I was here and it was a lot like this.
All right. Make sure... We got some amendments in front of us. The name of the game is the amendments, folks. Let's get right to the point. That's what the name of the game is. Everybody know that? Everybody know about these amendments? Do you know about these amendments? Are you still numb from the vote you just took?
The answer to both those questions, Mr. Chairman, is yes.
All right. Nature of amendments.
Yes,
Mr. Chair. Do not take years, but because I know you've lobbied everybody up here, but would you just let us know what's going on here?
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you. Jim Markey on behalf of the Oregon Collectors Association and the Oregon Mortgage Bankers Association. As you know, Senate Bill 81 allows cities to issue garnishments, the lien real property to enforce municipal court judgments, and clarifies that authority for justice courts. This bill, in the engrossed form, makes a change in the way that a civil judgment coming out of justice court, a judgment creditor would lien real property on those kinds of cases. Under present law, those are transcribed into circuit court at a cost of $12 to the circuit court. When they are satisfied with the court, you file a copy of the satisfaction of the court, cost you zero. And that's the current law. Under this bill, you would instead record those with the county clerk and the county lien record. We have clients who would prefer to continue doing business under the present law and be able to transcribe those into circuit court. The cost to record them in the county clerk or county lien record would be substantially more. The total cost would be $32 for the judgment and the satisfaction. That's the first change, is to simply allow them to continue to transcribe those as a method to lien real property. The second part of the amendment is to exempt from the $11 surcharge, so-called the A&T, Assessment and Taxation Surcharge, that was created in House Bill 2139, to exempt satisfactions of judgment from that $11. House Bill 2139 creates this $11 tax. It raises a little over $12 million a year for the counties, and that's good because they need the money. They're having restrictions from Measure 50 and all that. But we all know who deal with the circuit court that they learned a long time ago they charge $0 for a satisfaction. They do that for a reason. They used to charge money to file a satisfaction. They found that people don't file them because they don't want to pay the money. And then that clutters the records up. So in order to get the records cleared up, and keep them clean, they charge $0. It works great. The county, in order to satisfy a judgment that has been recorded in the county clerk lien record, there's a $5 per page charge now. This would add $11 to it. We've exempted those judgments that are recorded in the county lien record from the $11 fee. We think it's good public policy. We think it will help encourage people to file satisfactions. And we think it's a continuation of the public policy that the legislature adopted when they did this with the court system. The only time that this comes up, by the way, for circuit court judgments is when you take a judgment in one county, Multnomah County, say, and you find that the debtor has property in Clackamas County or some other county. You then, in order to lien the property in the other county, file either a lien record abstract or a certified copy of the judgment in that county, and that's a lien against real property. Once the debt is, and then you pay $5 a page plus the $11. We don't change that. Once the judgment is satisfied, the judgment debtor, not the judgment creditor, but the judgment debtor, is required in most counties to file copy of satisfaction of judgment to clear that record. Many debtors, we think, won't do that. And we want to encourage them to do that. So This, again, we have about $12 million a year in revenue from House Bill 2139, an increase of $9 million. The total cost of this was estimated by Charles Stern on behalf of the Church Association at $26,000 a year. So that's the fiscal impact of the county against the $12
million.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Bill Riddell, Association for the County's staff. I want to correct a couple of points you just made, and then I'd like to reset the context a little bit. First of all, we don't have a problem with current law. In terms of the first part of Jim's amendments, we don't quibble with that. We're talking about the second part. 2139, which passed overwhelmingly in both houses, did not raise $12 million a year for counties. It eliminated a sunset from a program that wasn't going to go away anyway. It enhanced the program $6.5 million a year. House Bill 2139 passed the House 38-19. The 19 votes were primarily about the preemption on the real estate transfer tax imposed locally. That was a bitter pill we had to swallow to get this package. It represents how delicate this package was. It was intended to address the issue of the record keeping, the records, the services available and given to private sector and taxes collected for schools and local jurisdictions. That would be threatened without this program. The program was a modest enhancement. Counties could still bear 70% to 75% to 70% of the cost, even though the benefits flow outside the county, most of the benefits. 2139 was a product of intensive stakeholder discussions this interim. It began the beginning of this interim. It was extensively studied in the House Revenue Committee. The Senate signed off on what the House Revenue Committee had done. Jim weighed in both in the House and the Senate and lost in his point. We, in a sense, by giving up the local real estate transfer taxes, had to take our medicine too. The assessors report that much of their phone traffic is from debt collectors. This is not a processing fee per se. What this is an acknowledgement that there are services available and rendered every day to the people who collect debt. Who call in, they need to know who owns the property, when was the property purchased, what's the value, what was the purchase price, what's the legal description. And, for example, Lane County estimates that 25% of its calls are of that nature. This data and this service is very important to the commercial sector, and they're getting their money's worth from this modest fee. This is simply an attempt to take an end run on 2139, and kind of compromise that nobody was very pleased with, but we had full acceptance. We would like to leave that alone.
Gervais.
For the record, my name is John Gervais, and I've got allergies today, and I can't talk with just as many of you. I represent the Oregon Association of Justice of Peace and the Oregon Municipal Judges Association, which supports Senate Bill B1, B8 draft, dash 8, B8 amendment in terms of the access and in terms of the lack of extra costs.
Questions, comments, please?
I would like to know. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to know the anticipated loss in revenues if these amendments go forward from what was under 2139.
Chairman, Representative Lowe, Charles Stern estimates that who represents the Democratic Association, the initial impact at about $30,000. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is the acknowledgement that those who benefit from publicly subsidized services pay their fair share. There's a lot of work that is done for this particular sector of the economy, and filing fee represents their share of it. Given given Measure 50 and federal forest cutbacks and so on, counties have had to go more to a user or beneficiary paid concept for their services. These services flow outside the county more than they are inside the county. So that's what we're talking about, is a fair share of the services under.
Sure.
May I ask one
follow-up?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me.
Okay.
Is there any way that a charge could be made for the direct research that's done to these for that particular segment of the business community? Rather than penalize everybody in the world that wants to file a status action because these people are absorbing services?
Sure, Representative Lowe, I did not do this research directly, but I'm informed by Washington County that if you take the number of satisfactions that are filed there and the number of calls that are made there, the payment is about 35 cents. The payment per document filed is about 35 cents. Based on the number of calls made, the calls are 35 cents.
My concern, though, deals with the many, many people that do child support enforcement and file satisfactions. I fear that requiring a fee will cause those people not to file the satisfactions and the records to be muddied. DHR has enough problem keeping the records straight for child support services. So perhaps there might be some other way to address the fairness issue that you've raised, and that's why I asked the question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, if I may, Paul Snyder with Association Boards and Counties. I think, you know, either Mr. Stern, maybe even Mr. Marquis could correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that with respect to a judgment in the court or in the county in which the judgment was originally entered, it's the obligation of the creditor. So if we're talking about the court enforcement judgments in another location, I think the issue that you're describing would involve only where judgments have been transcribed or where a lien record has been created in the county outside the county where the original judgment was entered. So I believe in the vast majority of the cases that you're talking about, the First Amendment that Mr. Marquis is requesting would cover the issue. So that you could transcribe in the circuit court, and in that event, it would be not charged for the satisfaction.
Mr. Chair, may I, since Paul asked me to correct him if he was wrong, and he is. The first part of the amendment only deals with justice court judgments, and certainly your, Mr. Chair, Representative, your question to support orders has no bearing on the whole because they don't come out of justice court judgments. This is simply, this would only apply in those cases where they have, generally speaking, on a circuit court case, where it is believed to lien real property in a different county, for a lien record abstract or certified copy. But in many cases, that could involve support orders. And I don't know what the status of 2775 is, but even House Bill 2775 is another bill supported by the counties that does away with the state's exemption on these kinds of filings and would then cover the support enforcement division. I don't know where that bill is. But this is a policy question, and Mr. Riddell is correct. I appeared everywhere that 2139 had a hearing, and I opposed 2139. And we did draft amendments that would have continued the present law, as everybody, other people who are on the Revenue Committee know, and those amendments were defeated. This amendment, which exempts satisfactions alone, was never considered by any of those committees, nor did we have it in a standalone amendment before this committee. Had our other amendments been adopted, 2139 wouldn't have applied to satisfactions.
Any questions, Representative Lowe?
I'm finished. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe this is a question for Mr. Stern, who's sitting in the back, who seems to have the magic numbers information. But is the full $30,000 that you gentlemen view as the likely impact on this coming strictly from the $11 recordation of the satisfaction fees.
This is against my better judgment.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I chair the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee on Land Records. To the question Representative Williams raised, the amendments address only the $11 surcharge in 2139, so it has no effect on the $5 per page recording fee. And so we did our analysis in conversations with Washington County and Marion County trying to come to how many of these judgments fees satisfy, and we came to about 2,600 statewide. It's a rough estimate. Marion County feels that's on the strong side. Washington County, you know, we have, it's a tough, elusive number because we have judgments that are different types of satisfaction, different kind of lien. And so from that, we just applied $11 to that number and came up with the $28,800.
Question? Not really a question, Mr. Chairman, just a comment. I do, frankly, and I practice sometimes in this area of law, primarily representing creditors and not debtors. So typically when I represent a creditor and we have finally collected on a judgment, it's my obligation or my client's obligation to actually file a satisfaction under the law. But I am concerned because there are many judgments that get applied outside what I would consider to be a professional obligation, either through the lawyer or through a collection agency who kind of does this as the run-of-the-mill procedure. But the average person, for example, who files a small claim in a small claim court situation has a duty to file a satisfaction judgment once that claim has been satisfied. Requiring $11 charge on satisfactions will have an impediment to people filing them. It's just it's already tough in those situations to get people to file them. But when they have to file them knowing that they've got to pay $11, they get no benefit out of it, frankly. And it will, I think, result in continuing problems with the way that our records are maintained and how clean they are. And the time that when you find out about it is when you go to do something, if you're the debtor, and you go to do something to get some credit, and it shows up on your credit report that you've got an unsatisfied judgment, even though you've already paid it. So I think in the long run, although I'm very sympathetic to the county's concerns here, and I sat through the Revenue Committee, and I was a strong supporter of 2139, both out of the Revenue Committee on the floor of the House and in the Senate. I helped to defeat Mr. Marquis's amendments in the Senate, and he hasn't probably forgiven me for that yet. But as a matter of policy, I said yes. But as a matter of policy on requiring the $11 surcharge on satisfaction judgments, I am persuaded that the amendments offered here are prudent.
Representative Shire, do you have any questions?
Well,
I'm not saying you have to.
I'm torn. I feel like Representative Backbone sometimes in our committee. No, I've been thinking a lot. Sorry, you have to be there to get it. Yeah, because I do agree that the policy argument that Mr. Marquis is advancing is appropriate. I think Representative Williams has picked up on that. I am, and in fact, if this had come up as a distinct amendment to Senate Bill, House Bill 2139, which I also helped advance to the Senate against Mr. Marquis and his cohort, I think I easily could have been persuaded to support this, because it does seem like it advances a reasonable and distinct policy with regard to this particular type of document. I'm a little troubled by the timing and the process by which we get here, and having Jim had the opportunity to fight his fight both in the House and the Senate and didn't succeed. I'm looking here at the testimony of Senate Bill 81 in the Judiciary Committee in May, where we had before us Mr. Gervais, Jim Marquis, and Paul Snyder, everyone testifying on behalf of Senate Bill 81, not contingent on the defeat of any particular provisions of House Bill 2139. And so in that, I have the policy on one hand that suggests that we go with the amendments. On the other hand, we did have a work group on 81. We got a bill, and the support wasn't expressed as contingent support on achieving anything else anywhere else in another committee. And that troubles me. I'll wait and listen to the rest of the committee. Thankfully, this is not the gun bill. This is not the gas tax. This is not a huge bill. I understand it's important to the proponents and opponents of it, but in perspective, it's not the biggest bill of the session. But it's troubling.
Anyone else? Any questions?
Just one for Jill. Jill, the $28,000, is that the crux of the whole concern?
Chair Senator Tarno, no, that's it was just that. Our concern would be somewhat less. We have gone through a pretty agonizing process, and we had a wide group of stakeholders, and we've had to accept some things that we don't like, as the other stakeholders. But we haven't. We arrived at a package. Very delicately balanced package, and it survived and flourished. Given the timing of this, the fact that we began to create exemptions to a pretty sound policy that was embodied by that package, I think the $28,000 is going to grow as a matter of course. You start granting exemptions, then I would ask if there's a way to exempt part of the preemption on local real estate transfer tax. That delicate of a package. So that's our concern. We've got something that's going to work, and nobody's real comfortable with it, but it's going to work. It's balanced, and we don't want to start tipping it one way or the other.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one follow-up question to Senator Tarno's question, and that is that in the event that House Bill 2775 passes and that does away with the governmental exemptions on filing satisfactions, does the $30,000 figure take into factor that in, or are we potentially looking at a bigger pot?
Chair Representative Lowe, I'm not familiar with that bill. I'm not sure of its chance of success, and I wouldn't count any chickens anyway for the hatch.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, if I might, I don't believe that Mr. Stern's figures would include that amount, but neither would the revenue impact that we're talking about with 2139. So it's not considered part of the revenue created by 2139, nor would it be considered if Mr. Stearns and I, by the way, Mr. Riddell and I are talking about two different numbers here, and I firmly believe that, we can talk about this after the meeting, but the information I was given is that 2139 raises more than what Mr. Riddell has stated. He obviously thinks he does. We did check we didn't try to do this in an underhanded or sneaky way. We did tell all of the parties involved and all of the players involved about these amendments, including the counties, which I thought about not doing. I want you to know that the cities have no problem with these amendments. The municipal courts support the amendments. The judicial branch supports the amendments, or at least have no problem with the amendments. The justice courts support the amendments. The only people that have a concern here are the county.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I'd like to have an opportunity to correct Mr. Marquis on one thing. We took into consideration all judgments from whatever source. So that even though we aren't currently charging support enforcement or other types of things,
we had no way of separating from our recording system which were judgments satisfied out of a circuit court versus judgments satisfied out of a municipal court. We wouldn't know that. So we just looked at judgments, period.
So the figure might be less. Then.
Yeah, so our numbers.
Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stern, I wanted to ask about that. In your analysis, and I know, as Mr. Rydell pointed out, that this is a delicately balanced deal in 2139, went through a lot of revisions, that having been somewhat intimately involved with 2139, I know that there were worse possibilities of outcomes for 2139 that the counties were willing to live with when they thought it was the best deal they could get. My question to you is whether or not, in your consideration, you did any dynamic modeling. In for example, if we start charging for these satisfactions, did your figures at all think about the fact that there would be fewer people who may file them because of the costs associated therewith?
Mr. Chair, Representative Williams, the answer to that is no, because currently anyone satisfying is paying for it and suggests that they change.
Right.
From procedure to making it less costly. Of course, the ANT fee doesn't apply to it, but they're paying the recording fees now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did not take any of those into consideration.
Thank you for your testimony, gentlemen. Anyone else in the audience wishing to testify on this bill? Well, I've done some little counting here, and unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, Chair is going to move the dash 8 amendments. Any objection? Chair moves dash Senate Bill 81 as amended for the due pass recommendation. Any objection?
Not an objection. I just make sure knowing where the votes are in this thing, I think it's more important that we send out a clean conference committee report, and so I will accede to the majority of the members of the committee in doing that. Although I do have a reservation that I expressed earlier, but I will not register an objection for the question.
Okay. Representative Williams, will you carry the bill in here, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Elkin.
Mr. Chairman, before you do, I think that the counties that expressed a concern that I'd like to be kept apprised of as time goes by and maybe bring this issue back 2 years from now and find out what the real impact has been. I guess 2 year time frame to set this thing up.
Okay, that's fair.
Great.